The Women's March for Equality started about a half hour late this evening, but is now moving at a steady pace down Fifth Avenue and has already reached about 53rd Street. The march consists of many thousands of people. It's impossible to estimate the size of the crowd at this point. It extends all the way across Fifth Avenue. There's no traffic on the avenue right now, and it's several blocks long. Last time I looked, it was at least five or six blocks long. The march is moving slowly. There's a line of marshals in front of the crowd, keeping it contained and moving it at a slow pace, stopping every now and then to let crosstown traffic move across Fifth Avenue. The march was delayed in starting. It started about 6 o'clock rather than 5:30. The reason for the delay was apparently an inability of the march organizers to get the crowd contained in one area before starting on the march. This is Bruce Holloway from Fifth Avenue.
Bella Abzug, the Democratic candidate in the 19th Congressional District, was one of the main speakers at the rally, which took place at Bryant Park, where the march culminated. Here's Bella Abzug speaking at this evening's rally.
We should rejoice today because today we are making it clear that we declare that there is a women's liberation in this movement in the city of New York and throughout the nation of these United States.
Bella Abzug is candidate for Congress in the 17th District.
We declare that today, 50 years after suffrage, the women once again are saying that we shall share in the full economic, political, and social life of our country. Today, the women are saying that we shall have a national comprehensive 24-hour child care system for the 40% and 50% of America's working women, and yay for all of the women in this country. Today we say that we shall have a free abortion on demand under medical supervision as a matter of a national health right available to all of us. Today we say that no one, no institution of industry, no institution of government, no institution of society can deny women's clear demand for equal pay, for equal employment opportunity, and for equal educational opportunity. But more than that, the women say today that our liberation movement represents an expression of the full political power of women's 53% vote in this country. And we shall use this power, we say, to America and to the power structure. All of us, regardless of our view of the system and its lack of responsiveness to our needs, the needs of women, referred to here as the oppressed majority, the needs of the black, the needs of the Puerto Rican, the needs of the poor, and the needs of all of us for a decent share of America. We demand today our full share of the decision-making process, and we demand today our full share of the vast resources and energies of this country. But we shall not attain the true meaning of our liberation. We shall not attain the true meaning of our equality unless we also struggle against that in society which oppresses all of us. That war in Indochina, the militarization in our society, which seeks to render all of society impotent to cope with the dislocations of our time. What we are saying here today as we struggle for women's liberation, that we, the women of this country, shall lead in a mighty liberation, a liberation of womankind and mankind from military expansion. From repression against those who seek social change, and from the malignant neglect that is visited upon all of us by the policies of government which oppresses us. What we are saying today is that we, the women, will take off where we started 50 years ago, when in our struggle against the abolition for slavery, we found that we were not free unless we freed ourselves. Where we declare our freedom today, we declare our freedom so that we can help make this country free and indeed make the world free from military intervention, from oppression of women, oppression of black minorities and other groups, from participating in a full life, from participating in a truly great world, a non-nuclear world in which all the peoples in it are free to develop themselves in their own style and image, in which all the people are sovereign. In which all the people are sovereign in their liberation. And so, sisters and brothers, as we go out today, let us build this mighty movement bigger and bigger. Let us give notice and serve notice on all institutions of our society, on all governments in our society, in all industry of our society, in all institutions, and say that the women's liberation movement shall lead in this country and in the world to provide a peaceful society and a future for the generations that come, a future for free people, a future in which we all partake in the decision-making process and partake in a just distribution of all the resources of the people for the benefit of the many instead of the benefit of the few.
I stand corrected. Bella Abzug is candidate from the 19th Congressional District, Democrat, but more important than that, she's long been identified with peace and women's liberation speeches and causes.
That we must struggle for liberation every day, and that we shall succeed for the power and the rights of all of the people. Thank you.
That was Bella Abzug as she spoke this evening at the rally for the August 26th women's strike. The next speaker is Eleanor Holmes Norton, who's the chairman of the New York City Commission on Human Rights. She also was one of the main speakers at this evening's rally.
It is not surprising that America, so long deaf and blind to the inhumanity of racial oppression, would come late to understand sexual oppression. It is not surprising in America, where migrants still live like animals, where Puerto Ricans and Mexican Americans still are not full citizens, where Italians and Jews and other ethnic groups still are stereotyped, where the poor remain shunted into ghastly ghettos and rural enclaves. With all this unfinished business for equality, it is not surprising that women have emerged late as the largest single group to which America still owes equal protection. There are two obvious ways in which America would be thrown into bankruptcy tomorrow. If the Supreme Court were to rule that the country had to pay back wages for the free labor it got from black slaves and the exploited labor it has gotten from their black descendants. Or if the courts were to require that back wages be paid for the free labor of women, or to rectify the inequality in pay they receive for working. But blacks and women are making a far simpler demand, one within the easy grasp of a rich country, one that carries no dangers of bankruptcy. Beginning today, women demand that we erase all the empty and artificial barriers. Sex, like color, is most often a meaningless criterion, which becomes an oppressive criterion when it is considered among the qualifications for a job. No form of discrimination against women is more extensive, more serious, or more costly than job discrimination. Yet many Americans have fooled themselves into believing that women work for the fun instead of for the necessity of it. The cost of living in a constantly inflationary economy such as ours makes working a necessity for almost all women who work. Women, like men, want to work for reasons of self-fulfillment. But like most men, most women work because they have no choice. America, you cannot turn your face from these facts. Listen, the average working woman is 39 years old, married and living with a husband who needs her salary to supplement his. Almost half of all mothers work, a quarter of them with children under 3 years old. 50% of white mothers with children 6 to 17 work, and 62% of black mothers with children these ages work. Do these sound like women with time on their hands?
WBAI, New York.
These figures tell the true story that women work because they must, but are forced to make far more sacrifices than men to enter the job market that demands their labor. Women must work, but for only 58% of the average male salary. Women must work, but clerical work remains their mainstay with few other fields open to them. Women must work, but only 31 states have laws guaranteeing them equal pay for equal work. Women must work, but only 15 states forbid job discrimination based on sex. America has learned to decry statistics such as these when they apply to the oppressed minorities. When will they learn that such statistics are just as shameful when they relate to America's oppressed majority? Statistics like these are a major reason women demand immediate passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. Like blacks, women are unwilling to leave their rights to the whim of the legislatures which have denied those rights for so long. What the legislature gives, it can take back. What it enacts, it can repeal. Nothing short of a constitutional amendment can wipe away job inequality. With all the protective legislation on the books, women are still the largest group of exploited workers in the country. The latest Department of Labor statistics show that women are the fastest growing group of unemployed workers in this current period of recession. When women lose their jobs, their families, their children suffer. For the so-called extra money most women earn often means the difference between poverty and modest comfort. Although this is obviously the case for black women who work, what the country has refused to face is that it is also the case for white women who work. Thus, women, white and black, have common cause to see that America does not replace job discrimination based on race with job discrimination based on sex as the country's most serious domestic problem. Let me close with a word on black women, because their role in the struggle for sexual equality is much confused. Indeed, I wear the dress of my African forebears tonight, not to be senselessly symbolic, but to dramatize the fact that black women have a stake in the fight for equality for women. Because they are the most exploited women. Unlike the white woman, the black woman has always worked from slavery to today, because the black family in America could not have survived without her meager wages to supplement the paltry pay of her husband, or in some cases to substitute for him as breadwinner. Yes, America welcomed black women into the job market as charwomen, mammies, maids, and domestics. The plight of the black woman worker vividly illustrates that the fight is not simply for jobs, but against exploitive working conditions for women workers. Household workers, waitresses, scrub women, and migrant workers should be at the front of the line today to tell America that it must not only open more jobs to women, but it must make exploitative women's jobs into dignified and well-paid work.
That was Eleanor Holmes Norton, chairman of the New York City Commission on Human Rights, speaking at this evening's rally in Bryant Park. You're listening to WBAI in New York, and we're recapitulating the day's events. We began in sort of chronological order, and we're currently in the midst of the rally.